This is Pure Decking show number, what show number is this? 453 for Thursday, October the 14th, the year of our Lord, 1964. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and lately I've been trying to remember why we picked Thursdays to do the show in the first place. What's up, Madman?
Oh, nothing much. I'm realizing how incompetent my coworkers can be. The government is, and that can't really have too much bourbon.
So far so good. I agree with all of that. And we have Aryu.
How you doing? That sound clip was the day I hit fuck it.
I mean, I don't know what else to follow that up with but the rim shot.
Right.
I mean, it's either that or you go into the you
know, I'm a bit tired of hearing
that thing.
Yeah. Well, that thing's gone from politics, and what replaced is, gone from corrupt to incompetent. There's just no fucking happy medium.
And in case anybody couldn't hear it, because I had all the stuff playing at once.
We entirely expect that people who are vaccinated will still get COVID-19.
I mean... They're locking down your entire country for that and tackling ladies in the street.
That's New Zealand, man. They're a whole level of crazy above us.
I mean, they're still tackling people in the street because they're not wearing a mask. It's like they're outside.
It is really hard to get news out of New Zealand now. But they're a lost, failed state anyway. They're going to a power sharing a deal, so they're going to have apartheid soon.
Oh, joy.
Yep. Not that anyone voted for it, it's just what the Queen wants.
So, really, really, really hard to infect them with anything. No, that's Madagascar, I'm sorry. Right, New Zealand just fails.
Well, I mean, when you're basing your country's COVID response on the results from a free-to-play Android game, you do kind of have to wonder. It's like, I mean, I seriously wonder how many politicians have played Plague Inc. on hard mode, where the moment there's a whiff of a contagion, some countries go into lockdown and they never get infected, and think that's the correct way to do it. It's like, you do realize that's actually not based on any actual, I mean, it's using a random number generator, right? You realize that. But I guess not. So
I was with a group of people in a barber's store, man, which we weren't meant to be doing. And there's probably 12 men in there and just all having general conversation. And the main barber whipped up and said, anyone here knowing anyone who's died from flu? And no one in there even knew anyone had had it. And this guy's a barber, so he has a lot of people he sees. He's like, mate, I haven't met one person yet who's had a relative die. And I forget the dude's name at the back. He's going, anybody know anyone who's killed himself? 8 people had knew someone had killed themselves in their family or extended family. Yeah, dude. So, and I just thought that was a little anecdotal a few months ago when I heard. I was like, okay, you know, I won't say anything to anyone about it. But last night I was watching someone who actually knows a thing or two about a thing or two. And they were like, yes, the teenage suicide rate in our country has outstripped COVID by threefold.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's not happy. So,
well, the new one, I do
work with some people who know some people who died from COVID. You know, yeah. Actually,
I'm not saying people
died,
didn't die.
So. But it's far less common than you would think. And what, didn't one of the news organizations do a poll, like went out and found out people thought, like, if you got COVID, you were going to the hospital, and it's like...
You were going to the hospital at 60%.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's like 10% chance.
0.1, yeah.
Is it that? Oh, no, that's dead.
It's really... It's super low, dude.
I thought going to the hospital was, yeah.
You have to have at least two comorbidity things with it.
So.
And they got caught out with that, that first teenager that died from COVID. Turns out they lied. He died from a brain tumor. It just happened to put COVID on the fucking death certificate.
See, now that...
But that was the dude they wheeled out to, you know, look, all kids should get vaccinated now. See, this is our first death from and they based their policy around a lie.
Not to veer too far into this, but this is what pisses me off about this stuff, is you've got so much stuff that's verifiably messed up with the medical counts and saying, you know, where they're at, you know, they're saying anybody who tested positive for COVID when they died was a COVID death. It's like, but yeah, they died of a car accident. It's like, well, still counted as COVID. It's like, wait, what? I mean, it's like, it's a real disease. We shouldn't be inflating the numbers. That just makes it harder to make you can't make good decisions with shit data. You know, no matter who's in the White House, if they're getting shit data, I mean, they're not going to make the right call.
I mean, the true history of this, if it ever gets written, there'll be a big significant player of mass hysteria.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's just my opinion anyway. I believe the time we're going through right now is just mass hysteria.
It'll be interesting to see what's written about it, you know, a decade from now.
Well, we won't get to read it, but...
Well, it'll be even more interesting to see what's on Wikipedia a decade from now.
I don't think Wikipedia exists.
It may not.
I'm hoping it doesn't, not in its current form anyway.
Well, Wikipedia, when you look into how it's run, is interesting because it's like different sections of it are ran by different, I guess the word would be factions. So...
Yeah, factions jumped into my head as soon as you said different. I was like, factions?
I mean,
yeah, warring factions.
I mean, because
warring factions.
They're not really going. I mean, they're keeping to their own areas, but you know, occasionally somebody wants to go edit one of the hardcore scientific entries to put all the woke SJW stuff in there, and it all gets taken back out, and people lose their mind over it, and it's just like, oh my god. So, I don't know. There's some value in it, but. It's less and less. It's like that one you sent me the other day about the ISP. Whoever wrote that clearly was fairly biased.
Yeah.
But they actually had sources for most of what they said about it, but their sources were fairly biased. You know, when you're linking to news articles that are written by political, political opinion people, it's kind of, that's not really for quoting in an encyclopedia. I mean... Well, I guess it depends on what you're writing about.
According to the University of Minnesota, the average age of a COVID death in the U.S. is 72.8.
Well,
not saying it's not a problem, but the average life expectancy isn't much higher than that.
So what Madman is saying, everybody, is call if your grandparents are still around, give them a call. You know, say hi to them. Make sure you get, you know, talk to them every once in a while. Just stay in contact with your grandparents, I'm just saying.
Make sure they're drinking Dos Equis and not Corona. That's what I'm throwing out there. Dos Equis Amber, not Corona with lime.
Well, speaking of drinking, I'm trying something a little different tonight, and actually it's pretty decent. I picked up this Johnny Walker, and it's a blend. And they called it a cask blend. And I guess they've aged some of their blends in different wine barrels. And before they, you know, did their own blend of it. It's pretty good. Not very high alcohol content, really. At least comparatively to what I normally drink. But, yeah, it's pretty decent. So. Is that enough rambling? You guys want to get into the stories? Or?
No, I think Laura will be happy with that 15 minutes of...
For Amazon
show,
okay,
yeah.
Well, if he ever gets around when we're doing a show, we need to.
I think he's at work right now.
Well, maybe we need to. I mean, I tried to get everybody to insult him to try to get him to come on when I'm on, so we could respond, and that didn't do any good. So,
oh, were you kidding? He sounded all hurt for like 3 seconds. It was amazing. Don't cut yourself. because of what we said, we actually do like you. Don't go all depressed.
For the record, but it was entertaining. For the record, Laura, I did tell them to do that. But the idea was that you would then come on when I'm on to respond. It's my same theory of trying to get RU over here, is say the things that make him want to kick me in the nards, so he will take the time to get over here to kick me in the nards, but then he's here and we can hang out. So, you know, have a beer or something. So,
oh, we can send him Foster's. They deliver beer to people's houses now. Know that? Or is it gods that invented this?
I'll wash my car with it, man.
All right. Anyways, but I really did. That really is my fault that they did that to you, Lore. it was a dumb idea as I was logging out, and I'm like, "Yep, we're doing it." I've just had a really good idea, and it's a terrible idea. So, anyways, so I guess we'll start here. First story is from Torrent Freak. Headline: Adobe uses DMCA to nuke project that keeps Flash alive, secure, and adware free. Yeah, I thought Flash, large chunks of Flash were open sourced, or at least the specification was. So them using DMCA to go after it's kind of shitty. In January of 2021, development and support for Adobe Flash was discontinued. That marked the end of an era, but in reality, Flash wasn't quite dead. Flash Player is still available in China, something that was exploited by the Clean Flash project to continue making the software widely and safely available. Adobe has now used the DMCA to shut the project down. As far back as 2012, Adobe was planning for the eventual demise of its iconic Flash Player. Gradually superseded by new technologies, the importance of Flash diminished over time, and as dawn broke on 2021, Adobe ceased to develop and support it, well, sort of. Adobe has indeed stopped shipping new global versions of Flash. The technology is still supported in two markets, enterprises and China via Flash.cn, a site managed by the Zixing Network, or I said that wrong, Zhong. I don't know how to say that. Zhongxing Network, I guess. The only authorized distributor of Flash in China. This was a significant move for local companies that still rely on Flash Player, but also provided a limited opportunity to keep Flash alive, something of importance for those who don't want historic Flash content to be rendered useless. By effectively abandoning Flash, Adobe consigned huge volumes of Reliant content to the history books, including games and other interactive content. For many of today's internet users, looking only for the next big thing, this isn't much of an issue, but there are those who view Flash's contribution to the web as worthy of preservation. The problem, however, is that obtaining a working copy of Flash outside of China is also secured by frequent updates isn't a risk to users' machines. The Chinese version of Flash receives one security update per month and can be freely downloaded from Flash.cn, but also has significant strings attached. It comes pre-installed with an adware program called Flash Helper, which, according to security sources, exhibits malicious behavior. Developed by DarkToka, and previously located on GitHub, Clean Flash Installer solves the problems and more. Clean Flash Installer installs this up-to-date, freely available version of Flash, but it comes without the adware program, DarkToka informs Torrent Freak. As such, Clean Flash Installer can be used by anyone to use a relatively secure version of Flash Player after support for Flash ended. The developer said that he was inspired to create his tool to keep Flash content alive, something which he said was a huge part of his childhood. Adobe appears to be less enthusiastic about his work, and following a DMCA notice with GitHub, the developer platform has nuked the project. In a DMCA complaint filed with GitHub on October the 4th, 2021, a legal representative acting for Adobe explained that the Clean Flash Installer project breaches copyright law. Quote, Adobe Inc. is the copyright owner, and I am authorized to act on his behalf, as Adobe Flash Player software has been infringed. The file in question contained our proprietary Adobe Inc. owned copyrighted material software code, it reads, adding that the project must be removed. Needless to say, DarkToka is very unhappy that Adobe has taken this project down. Quote, as this is my passion project, I am deeply disappointed with Adobe's action. The repository in question only hosts the installer code for the project, which was written by myself, and does not contain any infringing code, unquote, he explains. Quote, Adobe Flash was a huge part of our childhood, and it's gut-wrecking that Adobe would rather have everyone use super out-of-date versions of the software when versions with security updates are freely available. It makes no sense for them to DMCA an installer that was written independently and makes use of the freely available and downloadable version of the project, unquote. To find out why Adobe took the project down and learn the basis for its copyright complaint, TorrentFreak reached out to Adobe. The software company did not respond to our request for comment, so that leaves us with the developer's explanation of how a clean Flash Player works and why the repository wasn't infringing. According to Dark Kata, the repo did not include any Adobe code, and the Adobe DMCA complaint clearly states there were no anti-circumvision issues. The installer is a .NET framework project that was written from scratch without any Adobe assets. It's simply a tool to install Flash without the Flash Helper system service, he insists, noting that security companies consider it to be malicious. Another reason cited by Dark Kata for disposing of Flash Helper is that it contains a kill switch that can be activated by Adobe at any time to deactivate newer versions of Flash. The reason why Flash Helper is a separate application is because Adobe Flash is signed by Adobe itself, but they presumably did not want to sign malware. Therefore, Flash Helper is a completely separate entity that Adobe Flash only communicates with, he says. By default, if Flash Helper is not installed, Flash will cease to work after 3 seconds and will show that Flash Helper must be installed. Overall, Dark Kata is disappointed with Adobe's takedown notice, since he hoped to achieve with this project was the effective preservation of Flash content to be played in a safe and secure environment. Whether that will be possible moving forward is unclear, but in the meantime, the project is still available on GitHub. So, I mean, this is kind of interesting that somebody put together an installer to get around this Flash Helper program and keep using the version of Flash they're putting out in China. But, I mean, there was a ton of content for Flash Player back in the day. I mean, everything from the mid-90s up, internet-wise, was Flash. You had all these games. I mean, the entire Newgrounds.com archive. You had tons of movies. I remember tons of the old movies we used to trade around on Flash sites just because they were stupid, but they were hilarious.
Well, Newgrounds was completely Flash based.
Oh yeah. I mean, the tons of stuff was. So what was the
people
one?
People stuff had a lot of Flash.
The Candy Stand games, anybody remember those?
Remember the games you could play with it, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess the thing that sucks is that there's not going to be a way to go back and grab, like, if you've got all this stuff archived, you're not going to be able to play it on a modern computer. You're going to have to set up a VM and load up a legacy operating system that's not connected to the internet, so it's not pulling in these updates that kill Flash. Then you're going to have to install a Flash Player from a legacy plugin, and then you're going to have to take all the sketchy internet content that you want to play through the player and hope that it's clean in your virtual machine. So, you know, if you want to keep using Flash, even just go back and watch an old cartoon or play an old game. I mean, retro gaming is a thing. that's kind of shitty. I guess the best thing to do would be to grab a Linux distro from a few years ago, where try to find one that had Chrome on the installer with the Pepper Flash. That's probably the best way to do it right now. And again, load it up on something and just don't let it update. But certainly not a safe way to do Flash content. So what this guy was doing was pretty cool, and it sucks that Adobe DMCA'd it. I mean, I'm not really surprised. DMCA is pretty vague in its wording, and, you know, they can argue that the program's only purpose was to circumvent their, you know, code, even though technically I don't think it touched it.
I'm thinking they gave up rights to their code when they decided we're going to end it.
Well, they still own, you know, intellectual property on it, even if they're not distributing it. But they open sourced a bunch of the specifications for Flash a few years back. So that's what gets me, is even people trying to make replacement players they've gone after. So, I don't know. And I mean, I'm hoping archive.org comes up with something, because they've got a ton of it, of the old Flash content. I mean, surely there's some kind of a wrapper where you can, you know, play a Flash in a modern browser just through some kind of a translation layer. But even then, I don't know. Maybe I'm just showing my age. I remember the fact that, you know, when the original iPhone came out, the fact that it didn't have a Flash player was like a big deal.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the early Android phones did. And so that was one of the arguments to use Android over iPhone, was that, you know, you could play YouTube videos in the browser, because at the time, YouTube was on Flash. So.
Oh. All the old YouTube videos, they had to have re-encoded them.
Yeah, those have all been re-encoded for the modern HTML player, but, you know, still. I mean, if you go back and try to play old versions of the websites, or, you know, stuff like that, I guess. But, you know, I found a couple of, you know, going through old archives and stuff like that on my file server, I found old videos that I saved out that were in Flash, you know, FLVs, cartoons and TV shows and shit. So, whether that's because they were ripped off some website or just somebody thought that was the thing to use, I don't remember. But, you know, yeah. Bunch of old stuff was encoded in FLV at the time. So, anyways.
Where you can get the Warthog to bounce with your grenades. There was a Flash game. Yeah, I killed too much time on that Flash game. Just been playing Halo.
All right, next article. This one is from the BBC, and Madman sent me the better link because I originally had it from another source that wasn't as good as the BBC. So, neighbor wins privacy row over smart doorbell and cameras. This is interesting. A judge has ruled that security cameras and a Ring doorbell installed at a house in Oxfordshire unjustifiably invaded the privacy of a neighbor. Dr. Mary Fairhurst claimed the devices installed on the house of neighbor John Woodward broke data laws, broke data laws and contributed to harassment, and the judge upheld both these claims. Mr. Woodward now faces a substantial fine. He claims he installed the devices in good faith as a deterrent against burglars. The origin of the row stems from an invitation from Mr. Woodward to his neighbor, Dr. Fairhurst, to have a tour of his home renovations, during which she claimed he showed off his new security system. The judge reads that Dr. Fairhurst was alarmed and appalled to notice that he had a camera mounted on his shed and that footage of it was sent to his smartphone. A series of disputes about the cameras followed, which resulted in Dr. Fairhurst moving out of her home. That seems like it might be an overreaction. I guess it depends on what those cameras are pointed at. In the judgment, it was found that the Ring doorbell camera, the Ring doorbell captured images of the claimant's house and garden, while the shed camera covered almost the whole of her garden and her parking space. Judge Melissa Clark found that audio data collected by the camera on a shed, in a driveway, and on the Ring doorbell was processed unlawfully. She noted that at the time it was not possible to turn off the audio recording facility. That happened in an update in 2020. She said that she found the audio data could capture conversations even more problematic and detrimental than video data. Personal data may be captured from people who are not even aware that the device is there or that it records and processes audio and personal data, she said in her judgment. That, she said, was a breach of UK data laws, both the UK Data Protection Act and the UK GDPR. Amazon, which makes both the doorbell and the cameras, said the customers must respect their neighbor's privacy and comply with any appreciable laws using their Ring device. Yeah, so the people who make the cameras are like, not our problem. Quote, we put features in place across all our devices to ensure privacy, security, and user control remain front and center, including customizable privacy zones to block out off-limit areas, motion zones to control the areas customers want their Ring devices to detect motion, and audio toggle to turn audio on and off, unquote. But the judge added, even if an activation zone is disabled so that the camera does not activate to film any movement in that area, activation by movement in one of the other non-disabled activation zones will cause the camera to film across the whole field of view. The information commissioner's office told the BBC, quote, lots of people use domestic CCTV and video doorbells. If you own one, you should respect people's privacy rights and take steps to minimize intrusion into neighbors and passersby, unquote. But it added, in the vast number of cases, there are no issues. Hannah Hart, digital privacy expert at ProPrivacy, said, whilst this case doesn't set a legal precedent, it does continue an ongoing conversation about our changing attitude towards domestic surveillance and how normalized it has become in our communities. The fact remains that anyone with a Ring doorbell can turn their area of the neighborhood into a surveillance space due to its video recording functionality and audio processors, which are able to pick up sound 40 meters away. This means that a small number of residents can effectively transform public spaces into surveillance hotbeds and even share their recordings with the police. Isn't London, like, one of the most surveilled areas?
They were fining people for covering their face in their facial recognition tests.
DC, capital of Europe.
Yeah.
I think it was the world for a bit, but... China, Beijing may have taken that over.
I mean, this is Oxfordshire, which I don't think is part of London, but I mean, still, it's just like, I mean, they're going nuts on this guy because he put some security cameras up, and they're saying, well, it could record the neighbor's yard, which, I mean, I don't know. They don't have pictures here. It's like, would it be easy to reposition the cameras to still cover what this guy wants to cover without getting the neighbor's yards? I mean, I do know that in a lot of those, you know, a lot of British yards are fairly small. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But
can you view the neighbor's yard just by looking around? Because you don't have a right for me to walk around with my eyes closed. So unless you can show that this was intentional, that you place this camera at a way that is absolutely no use to you except to spy on your neighbor, I don't see where they would have an argument. Because if I put just a CC camera in my front door to watch my front yard, I'm getting my front door and the entire yard of my neighbor across the street. But if I look out my window to see who's at my door, I can see who's at my door and everything that's happening in the front lawn across the street.
Well, Madman, you haven't been down here to see my house. If I were to put up surveillance cameras, there's a lot I would be capturing that I probably don't care to capture. Both of the neighbors, all of the neighbors' yards all around me. And, I could probably put up a doorbell camera and maybe a back camera on the camera on the back door without too much issue, but I would still be getting a lot of people's yards with that, whether I wanted to or not. So
my view on it is, unless that camera did not see anything in his yard, I don't see how she would have a case. Now, possibly on the audio, but I'm also looking at this from an American standpoint where the only thing we really protect is, are you recording someone's voice without permission? If you're in public view, you can have your picture taken.
Well, I mean, this woman felt like she had to move out of her house because of it. So I'm wondering if there's more going on and the story's just not covering it.
Yeah. Ongoing disputes, I bet.
I would think they weren't unfriendly, or why else would he have been showed her around his house?
Well, neighbors who are friendly sometimes sour on each other over bullshit, so...
Yeah.
I know my parents are dealing with that right now. They've got a neighbor, you know, the neighbors they used to be super friendly with, and now it's talking about putting up a privacy fence, and you know, it's, they don't want anything to do with them. So it's like, wow. I think the neighbor has had an issue, some kind of a, you know, they've just started being weird. I'm trying to think how to explain it without. Basically, he went outside and just started yelling at my dad for no reason.
Bitch went nuts.
Yeah,
the Ben Folds song. Look it up. It explains it.
I mean,
except this sounds like a dude.
Yeah, well, it was the dude, but yeah. Yeah, he just snapped and just decided to start going at. And apparently my parents aren't the only ones he's done this to, so I don't know what's going on, but yeah, I mean, it happens where I mean, they used to have them over all the time, share drinks, barbecue, all that stuff, and now it's like don't want anything to do with them.
Sounds like he hasn't got an issue with your father. He's got bigger issues going on, and that's just the outlet he's going to
dump
his frustrations on.
I think that's part of it. But
dude, that's 99% of the conflicts out there that are just, that escalate really retardedly quickly. It is because you've got something deeper going on that you just got less control of than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, your reservoir of self-control has ran low, and so some stupid little thing, even if you've just invented it in your head, sets you off.
Dude, wait till we open up. Wait till shit starts opening up.
I can't
be fucking
wait.
Crazy.
I can't. Well, actually, we're not too closed down here. But for you guys, we're going to be getting stories out of Australia for years about people just went nuts. I mean, they're going to be doing specials and documentaries about, you know, people barricaded themselves in their homes with their family because of this kind of stuff. I mean,
I went out today to do shopping, and I walked through the main area where I go to get cashier, and everybody's got a mask on. I'm like, what the fuck? Did they change the rules overnight? So I just kept walking, got the stink eye all the way through, got my cash out, went to buy booze. Everybody's wearing a mask in the booze shop. I just walked in, grabbed my trolley, and this other bloke came around the corner. He wasn't wearing a mask either, and I walked up and said, hey, mate, not having a go at you or anything, but did they change the rules of the mask? Why is everybody wearing it? And we're not. He goes, I don't fucking know. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know either. He goes, so I went to the lady at the counter, the manager, as I was going through, because she didn't say shit to me either. I said, what are the rules? And she goes, we don't know. But you're the manager of a massive liquor store chain, and you don't know. She goes, nobody knows. And I said, well, I hope I didn't wreck your day, but I didn't wear a mask. She goes, I don't give a fuck. I'm not even jabbed, and I don't intend to be. All right. No one knows the rules, man. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, there's going to be movies made about how people have lost their minds during all this. Documentaries for years about it. Like we were talking about before we started the show, in the beginning of the show, mass hysteria.
Yeah, but they'll censor it. I mean, I'm watching the ADL fight with Gab right now. It's pretty amusing.
Next story? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just didn't realize Gab was a Christian.
No, when I looked at Gab, I wouldn't have described it as that, no?
Well, that's the fight they're having with the ADL right now.
Gab and 4chan, beacons of Christianity.
I don't know, some threads on 4chan do take a very religious tone.
Can't have that in my Christian comic. Anyways. I am Christian. I probably shouldn't be making those jokes.
Hey. Well, just the owner of Gab on his response put Jesus as king.
Oh, so he's it. Okay. So, well,
that's where I thought they may have had some sort of religious thing, but as I said, I know nothing about Gab.
I'm Catholic, and I believe South Park's rendition of the Fire Boys with ball gags and leashes was almost spot on. There weren't enough paddles involved.
Their best one was the Stations of the Cross episode when they were getting the resurrection. Resurrection.
I'm going to have to look that up now.
Oh, it's a great one, man. They're trying to get Kyle's dad, his dick doesn't work. So I think performing the Stations of the Cross will get him a resurrection.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
There are many miracles you can pray for. I don't know if I'd ask for that one.
Dear Lord, Viagra is just so expensive.
Man, just to be fruitful and multiply. I'm having trouble with that.
Anyways.
I don't need pry prism, but something a tad short of that. Thank you. That was not an actual prayer. Please do not strike me down. Oh no, God has a sense of humor. Look at the duck-billed platypus.
No. You want to look at God's sense of humor? Human history. There we go.
Oh no, that's a tragedy. I'm still looking for comedies, my friend.
Yeah, human history. That's comedy.
From God's point of view, I'm sure.
Very dark comedy, but
so what's next?
What's next is this article from inputmag.com. The author tries to put some color in here, so we'll just go with it. You know that feeling when two of the worst people you know start dating? Anyways, Coinbase just signed a deal with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Department to the tune of $1.36 million, for which it will provide ICE with data and analytics around how Americans are buying and spending various cryptocurrencies. The deal, as spotted by Decrypt, is pretty vague. It only says that Coinbase will provide ICE with application development software. This isn't Coinbase's first government contract. The crypto company has already worked out deals with Homeland Security and the Internal Revenue Service in the past. None of these deals came even close to the $1.36 million that ICE has awarded Coinbase in this week's filing. Coinbase's politics have always been less than ethical. Partnering with ICE, the agency best known for putting... The author has for best known for pulling shady shit to incarcerate and deport immigrants. So, yeah, the author's a little biased.
A little.
Isn't exactly a great look for Coinbase, but when ethics ever stop this company from doing anything to make a fast buck. Details of this particular deal are being kept quiet. No blog post update from either ICE or Coinbase. No official statement or even a tweet. Okay, the author's clearly a millennial, expecting a blog post or a tweet rather than a press release.
That's what I was just thinking.
That's par for the course for Coinbase, or par for the course for Coinbase's government deal, so we wouldn't expect details to be forthcoming. It's Coinbase's analytics arm that will be doing business with ICE, a segment of the company dedicated to creating and perpetuating software that analyzes blockchain activity. The blockchain itself is all available to the public, but the millions of transactions happening on it every day make it difficult for the average person to analyze. Coinbase's analytics provide software that does just this. The company says that software can connect crypto transactions to real-world entities and investigate fraudulent Bitcoin activity. Coinbase was founded in 2012, but the crypto exchange has only really begun to pick up speed in the past few years, so much so that Coinbase was able to go public earlier this year and even has its own crypto-backed debit card. With some notable success in its back pocket, Coinbase's dreams have grown lofty and erratic. Earlier this month, the company announced its intention to launch Lend, an ambitious program to allowing customers to earn up to 4% interest for lending out crypto. The SEC threatened to sue, and lo and behold, Coinbase quietly shelved the Lend program this week. It wasn't quiet. The owner of Coinbase, because they got a SEC letter, wrote a blog post and a rant about it. We talked about it on Decking, but the this site's pretty pretty one-sided.
I mean, I've noticed a big increase in that. Get it now, pay later. Apps seem to be everywhere now. I'm wondering how much debt people are getting themselves into.
A lot. I mean, it's credit cards. They're just fancy ways to do credit cards or credit.
Yeah, I know, man.
Cards,
but the whole if you're trying to think of a way of putting this without insulting everyone.
Yeah, insult
financially.
Everyone.
Financially immature, let's just say that. Not really sure how to handle that paycheck week to week. I think you could get yourself in trouble with the buying it now, paying it later stuff. It'd rack up real quick.
Several people do that. I mean, you've been able to do that with credit cards for years.
No, I know, but at least credit card, previously you had to actually go to the store. Now with Amazon and shit,
what really just screws you over is payday lending.
That's what I mean. It's going to be at those lend, this pay later stuff. It is going to be payday lending, like 27.5% calculated daily, right? That's going to be their interest rate. Otherwise, their model is broken. I just, the way the generation coming up under us is such whiny and pissy about everything that's fucking capitalism. Are they just thinking that if they hold out long enough, everything will collapse and they'll never have to pay their debts?
That's possible. It's also possible that they think that they just never will have to. I mean,
that's what
I mean, whether it's because of this collapse of the system or the fact that they just haven't thought 5 minutes ahead, they're just like, oh, well, this gets me the shiny new phone. I don't have to pay for it. I just use this app and it gave me points.
Yeah.
And then it's like, just, you know, and because a lot of these apps, I think they want to do, most of them want to do the automatic deductions anymore. Almost any new account you set up now wants to do the auto bank draft thing. And they get, you know, I get nasty letters in the mail all the time because I don't let my current, you know, a lot of my current accounts do that for reasons. And I manually go in and pay most of my bills because I like knowing when that's done.
Yeah, I'm the same, dude. Manually paying a bill is, it just feels more satisfactory too.
Well, and it also gives me a bit of control if I've had to spend a bit of money and I want to make sure that a bill doesn't hit until I want it to hit, you know?
Yeah, and it's a lot better when you know that that $200 phone bill isn't going to be credited $1,800 because your wife put a decimal point in the wrong spot because she had some fucking wine while she was paying a bill one night. Sorry, and sorry. A lot angry of people, still about that one.
I'll bet.
A lot of people don't realize how much compounding interest affects things. Even a small interest rate,
yes,
like 3%, depending on how much of a balance you carry and mm-hmm. how long you carry that balance.
And how often it's calculated.
You can end up spending quite a bit more for that candy bar or for that television than you were thinking. Well, the candy bar, not much, because if you're carrying that balance for any length of time, you're retarded. But, you know, say you want to get a new living room suit, a quality living room suit, it can be costly because those manufacturers are thinking you're buying one for 15 or 20 years, maybe even longer. They're charging you. I mean, you can get some crappy ones for cheap. But if you're buying nice furniture, even at a 3 or 4% interest rate, if you're not paying that down, they're making a crap ton of extra money off of you.
You want to have some fun, at least stateside, go look up the Truth in Lending statement on your mortgage or your credit deals. I don't remember exactly when the law went into place, but they have to provide those. So, you know, if you ask for a Truth in Lending statement, they're supposed to be able to give you one. And usually what that is that's going to be a statement of, I'm used to seeing them for mortgages, but I know, I'm pretty sure they exist for most accounts, like credit cards and things like that. You know, if you make the minimum payment over the allotted time of the loan, how long, you know, how long is it going to take you to pay it off, and what, how much are you actually going to pay in total? It is mind-blowing how long, if you have, you know, moderate interest rate, or how much you'll end up paying on a moderate interest rate over, you know, the 5 years of a car loan or 6 years of a car loan if you're paying minimums.
Yeah, any closed-end loan has that. It's the open lines of credit that are a bit more difficult because you can't really can't say the lifetime interest on an account that has no lifespan.
Okay, fair point.
Yeah, any closed-end loan, you'll get that. And they'll try to give you an idea on an open-end loan if you carry a certain balance. They can calculate that. Let's say you have a carry a $4,000 balance month over month. Yeah, it's stupid how much extra you're going to be paying.
If you're paying minimums. I mean, even just – and the crazy part is once you figure out the math on this, because it's not that hard to set up, you can go in and do some formulas in a spreadsheet and set up a calculator, and you can figure out how much you're going to pay in total. And it's amazing the difference that making just, you know, an extra $100 a month on that payment makes.
Yep.
It's amazing.
If you're doing a mortgage, most banks will have a calculator for that on their website, because it doesn't hurt them for you to pay extra and pay it off center. Because they're not making you, they're usually not the ones making that money off the interest.
One of the new banking regulations they've put in here is the stress test. So interest rates are really low right now. I think about 3 or 4%. So yeah, you can borrow a home loan at 3 or 4%, but if that interest rate goes to 10, can you repay that?
Oh, you
avoid
shouldn't.
An ARM. Do not get an ARM. Adjustable rate mortgages like that, avoid those like the fucking
no,
plague.
No, this isn't a thing. What they're doing, they're testing your ability to pay that back. So before you're allowed to get the loan now. So yeah, you can prove that you can pay 3 and 4%. Yeah, that's fine. But if it goes up 5 and 6%, are you insulated enough within your earnings to keep paying your mortgage? That's what they're checking now.
Yeah, but if you have a fixed rate mortgage, it's not going to go up to 5%. The rate is fixed.
No,
so
I know.
If you can
I know
afford that. The 3, you're always going to be 3.
That's how they're doing to try and slow the market down.
I got you. They've imposed a rule saying you have to calculate it at these rates to make sure.
These rates.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because, I'm sitting there with Madman. I'm like, but if
it's
not an ARM,
too,
what's
Madman.
It matter? I mean,
yeah.
It's like, oh, well, you know, if we jacked your interest rate to 10%, but I have a piece of paper here that you've signed that says my interest rate is, you know, 3.1% for the life of the mortgage. Why would you can't change it? That's what this paper says. And it's like, well, but if we did, it's like, how? That's illegal.
But if 1,000 frogs flew out of my ass and strangled you.
It's like, no, actually, you know what? I've signed this paperwork. I already have, you know, we've already, you know, got the deed. You have the lien. Please tell me you're changing the percentage rate so I can invalidate this contract and invalidate your lien in court. Please do that. That will be amazing because I get my house for free and you paid for it. But, so I imagine most banks have lawyers that are very good at keeping them from breaking contract law on things like that. Anyways, I've lost the plot on that story now. Next one?
Yeah.
Yep. This is from Reuters. RU sent me this. Exclusive! Facebook to change rules on attacking public figures on its platforms. This is from October the 13th. Facebook will now count activists and journalists as involuntary public figures. So increase protections against harassment and bullying targeted at these groups, its global safety chief said in an interview this week. The social media company, which allows more critical commentary of public figures than of private individuals, is changing its approach on harassment of journalists and, quote, human rights defenders, unquote, who it says are in the public eye due to their work rather than their public personas. Facebook is under wide-ranging scrutiny from global lawmakers and regulators over its content moderation practices and harms linked to its platform, with internal documents leaked by a whistleblower forming the basis for a U.S. Senate hearing last week. How Facebook, which was about 2.8 billion monthly active users, treats public figures and content posted by or about these figures has been an area of intense debate. In recent weeks, the company's cross-check system, which the Wall Street Journal reported has the effect of exempting some high-profile users from usual Facebook's rules, has been in the spotlight. Facebook also differentiates between public figures and private individuals in protections it affords around online discussion. For instance, users are generally allowed to call for the death of a celebrity in discussions on the platform as long as they do not tag or directly mention the celebrity. They cannot call for the death of a private individual or now a journalist under Facebook's policies. Oh, we're too many people making fun of Brian Stelter.
Yeah.
Because that guy's easy to make
fun of. Yeah,
this
is known as a Brian Stelter rule.
I'd fucking believe that because that guy's easy to make fun of, and they've got that picture.
Brian Stelter / Jeffrey Toobin rule.
Because they've got that picture of Stelter that floats around of him grinning like a demon. I mean, that guy's easy to make fun of. I'm just, I mean, Yeah, you know, no slag on him, but he looks like somebody easy to make fun of, and he has a high-pitched voice, and he sounds like an idiot. So, I mean, I just did it. I just fell into making fun of him. I mean, I didn't even intend to.
If the message to his wife, if y'all are being held against your will, blink twice. You know, like, we know he's not heterosexual. Are you saying that?
See, now are you falling into it? You don't even mean to. You're just trying to describe an example of an individual that people might make fun of, and then you're just calling him names and making fun of his bald head. I mean,
he is a very competent journalist. I'm just sad that she has female pattern baldness. And no one should lose their hair like that.
We are talking about Rachel Maddow now, aren't we?
No.
God.
Any journalist that says, I had to have a good cry and then go to sleep at night, has ovaries.
Well, I mean, for all we know...
But he'll never be a real woman, man.
For all we know...
As far as I know, she gave birth to all of her children.
For all we know, Brian Stelter is Rachel Maddow in a fat suit. So, I mean... At least Maddow's honest about her policies. She doesn't... You know, she comes out and says she's a leftist and, you know, actively supports that stuff versus Stelter calling his, what's he call his thing? Like reliable sources.
Yeah.
Reliable, I mean, it's
sources.
Like, dude, we know you're not. You're being caught in lies all the time.
Rachel Maddow's Michael Knowles in a dress. You will.
Wow.
Delter, I will have to defend you.
You know, I don't think Michael Knowles is a violent
woman.
Man.
Rachel and Brian are two completely different women. And I think Rachel might have a penis and has written some really great satirical books. Reasons to Vote for Democrats, A Comprehensive Guide, is one of the trolliest books released.
Oh, I shouldn't have gone. I shouldn't have gone there with the jokes. I've opened this can of worms. I don't apologize for it, but I shouldn't have done it.
How's this?
It's one of the few books that Trump could read cover to cover.
I will take myself out of this conversation so you can get it back on the rails.
The company declined to share a list of other involuntary public figures, but said they are assessed on a case-by-case basis. Earlier this year, Facebook said it would remove content celebrating, praising, or mocking George Floyd's death because he was deemed an involuntary public figure. Facebook's global head of safety, Antigone Davis. That can't be that person's name. Antigone. Antigone. I mean, I'm not. Antigone Davis said the company was also expanding the type of attacks it would not allow on public figures on its site as part of an effort to reduce attacks disproportionately faced by women, people of color, and the LGBT community. Didn't she leave? I think they left like 5 or 6 letters off the acronym there. I mean,
but you can't list it all. The alphabet's not long enough.
Oh, yet. Okay. Yeah, I think it has like 3 plus marks on the end of it now, too. Facebook will no longer allow severe or unwanted sexualizing content, derogatory sexualized photoshopped images or drawings or direct negative attacks on a person's appearance, for example, in comments on a public figure's profile. I thought Facebook didn't allow sexualized content of any kind. I haven't used it for years, so maybe I'm out of the loop here. But
I will agree with them. Saint Floyd, hallowed be his name forever, is not a public figure. And I could see them limiting how much I can make fun of the sainted Floyd. Blessings be upon him.
I'm now imagining George Floyd with a Muhammad beard and a turban for some reason. I don't know why.
He's the patron saint of drug dealers and wife beaters and anyone that robs pregnant women. Great man. But I could see not making fun of him because he's honestly not a public figure, seriously. He was a private citizen. You should be able to make fun of his actions and comment on that since the news made it a news story. That was a local crime story. It should not have been national news.
Well, I think part of the reason that one went national is so many people had recorded the cop kneeling on his neck, and that went viral online.
Yeah.
So well, I think that had part of that was part of it. It wasn't just the news doing that. But
it was, they had video, but there are news stories just egregious. A woman in Ohio shot three people breaking into her house with an AR. If you didn't live in Cincinnati or listen to less national news, you wouldn't have known that. And it's another story that could have been played out. So yeah, they choose which stories are national. But Floyd didn't choose to make himself public. He chose to commit a crime. So I can understand limiting that. But news anchors, when it is your job to present the news, your credibility is up for public discussion. And if you've ruined your credibility, mockery is the way the public gets rid of you. So I don't think you should go to, let's say, Tucker Carlson's house and harass him and his family at home. But on Facebook, if you think that he has no credibility, say it.
Well, I just wish he'd go back to the bow tie. I thought he had more credibility with the bow tie on.
Well, I figured I'd make fun of him since I've been lambasting Michael Knowles this time. You know, with him wearing a dress and all. But
well, the sad thing is, figures. Now that you say that, I can see it. It's like, oh, fuck.
Those are public figures and up for scrutiny. Same thing with anyone that runs for elected office. Now, I don't think you should threaten to kill most people. I mean, I'm going to draw the line. I'm certain there's a modern equivalent to Hitler. I don't know who it is. But some people, yeah, I might do that too. But honestly, in most conversations, I don't threaten Nancy Pelosi's life. It's not that I don't want her to leave office. I do. I just don't think anyone should bump her off. I think she should just lose an election or retire or be called home by God in a very peaceful, loving manner surrounded by her children and grandchildren.
Well, just hopefully not in the family Volkswagen.
Oh, no. In her sleep. But when
wow.
you put yourself in the public arena, the public gets to comment on you.
Yeah. You're...
What about the climate goblin?
Yeah, Joe Blow serving burgers and shakes at Sonic, leave him alone. He's not asking to be put in the public arena. But an activist, if I'm going to go start championing a cause, well, whatever action I'm saying we should take, even if it's the most benign, great action in the world, it is going to have externalities. I'm going to negatively affect someone, and they should be able to counter my argument. And let the best argument win.
I mean, I'm just thinking they weren't allowing people to make fun of Greta, but she, because nobody was allowed to criticize her, she literally gave a speech at the UN going blah, blah, blah.
If she's 18 now, you can do what you fucking want.
But I mean, it's just like, seriously, this is someone who some critical feedback might have been helpful for, you know?
Yeah, She didn't get where she is by getting critical feedback, Morps.
Yeah, that's probably the point.
When it comes to even children, children should not be activists. They're children. They don't know anything. All children are morons. Even the ones I agree with are retarded. They're children. It is a part of being a child is that you are ignorant, impulsive, and possibly stupid. Ignorant and stupid are two different things. Not all ignorant people are stupid. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge. But, they just shouldn't be activists, not publicly. So if their parents decide to allow them to throw their hat in that ring, you are opening up those people for ridicule, at least of their ideas.
So... Now, that said, there was another article that I could have used for Facebook, but figured one was enough. Apparently, they have a watch list of various people and organizations that if people mention or support, that flags your account as well, because they're bad people and you shouldn't support them. They've got some kind of a blacklist. And that was something else that came out from one of the leaks. And, you know, people were calling on Facebook, well, publish the list so we know what not to say so we don't get in trouble. But then they're like, but then you won't say it. So, they, of course, they won't. So, I mean, I think I generally, back to the point of the article, what bothers me is that Facebook has all these different sets of rules and they're not clear. And YouTube and Twitter have this problem too, where it's like the rules of the game aren't clear and they're not enforced evenly and you don't know what's going to set them off. You know, my dad got his Facebook account suspended for a few days because he made a joke about Biden and they suspended it saying he was spreading false information. It's like, it was clearly a joke. It's like, he showed me the post. It was a joke. I mean, nobody could read that and think it wasn't just somebody being, you know, just calling him dumb. And he got his account banned for a few days. So it's just like, yeah, I mean, the problem is that the rules on these platforms are not clear. And it's coming out that Facebook has all these lists and different rules for different accounts and things like that. Well, I mean, hell, we were talking about earlier Crowder getting banned off YouTube and how his lawyer got a letter explaining why they banned him. Most people don't get that. Most people just get their account banned and that's it. And they don't know why. You know, they request a reason why and they'll just say you violated a community guideline. They won't tell them what it is. They won't tell them why they did it, when it was, what video it was. They'll just say, nope, sorry, your account's gone. You violated a community guideline. And it's like, well, how do I know what I violated if you won't tell me what the rule was? And they won't. And that comes down to the problem of we don't know what the rules are on these platforms. It's one of the reasons why I've never wanted to do G15 on any of these platforms. I built my own. It's because I know what the rules are with my own. with if I was posting this shit on YouTube, well, one, we would have been banned 50, you know, 100 times
over.
If
we ever got popular, we would be banned.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't know what the rules are on YouTube. I'm seriously looking at doing some video stuff with some modding, and I got a bunch of Game Boy parts and things like that I want to work with, and building up some cyber decks and things like that with the printers. But it would be fun to record and say, hey, look, I'm building things. And I think people would think it's interesting. But I'm afraid to do it because I don't know what the rules are.
They make 3D guns, dude.
Right? I mean, you don't know if that's going to...
a heart attack or something.
Yeah,
you know I mean,
there's definitely that. But I mean, like, even if I'm not making guns, I mean, making gaming consoles and little systems for running Kali Linux. It's like, you know, is somebody going to take offense to that? Or what if I crack a joke about something and don't even think of anything about it, and then next thing you know, your account's banned? Or,
oh, what if you're listening to the radio?
Well, I wouldn't do that. I'd control the audio.
DMCA complaint.
I'd control the audio a little better than that. We've been covering DMCA long enough that I know that game. But it's like, apparently, you don't even have to do anything wrong in your videos. You just have to get enough people complaining about it to get your account banned.
Oh, you don't have to do something wrong on YouTube. They've gone after people for doing something wrong on other platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I did start doing YouTube videos and somebody linked the account to the stuff we do on G15, somebody go back and listen to some of these old shows and be like, oh, yep, nope, banned. It's like,
yeah,
but it wasn't on your platform.
Super
doesn't matter.
Popular, and Alex Jones decides to have you on a Doomsday Prepper episode, and who wouldn't go meet the living meme? I would meet him.
I would too, of course. If I got the phone call tomorrow saying we need you to come down here, we're gonna have you on. It's gonna be great. Bring your 3D.
Like, sweet. We can discuss how this plastic are turning every frog gay. I will show you how to build a house out of toothpaste.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
You could get banned if he shows you on InfoWars because they've done that.
So that's the problem I have. And yet, these assholes claim Section 230 protection all the time when they're clearly doing editorial comment or content. So, you know, that's my problem. That's why I wanted to talk about some of the Facebook stuff. Is because it's like, if the rules were known, I'd be less concerned about the fact that they go after people, because at least you'd know what the rules were. And it'd be like, okay, here's what you do not to get in trouble, or just don't use that platform. Go use something else. So,
and when it comes to their expanded protections of private citizens, watch and see who those apply to. Because if they start applying to politicians, I bet they only apply to the politicians they like. And there'll be certain news presenters that are public figures and others that are actual journalists, and you can't talk about them that way.
So,
and you should be able to shit on every public figure and anyone that chooses to make themselves a public figure.
Anyways, so let's, I just realized we're an hour in and I've got a couple of stories left. So next one is from Torrent Freak. VPN service agrees to block BitTorrent and keep logs to settle a privacy lawsuit. Yeah, this sucks.
Hold up, so are they saying they're not going to be a VPN anymore?
Well, that's what they're saying, is they're going to be out of business, I'm sure. A group of movie production outfits, including affiliates of the film Stern Millennial Media and Voltage Pictures, filed a lawsuit against VPN.ht in March. The company accused the VPN provider of promoting the piracy app Popcorn Time to its users, noting that a VPN.ht IP address was repeatedly used to share pirated films. After filing the original complaint, the copyright holders increased pressure. They obtained a temporary restraining order that required PayPal to freeze the assets of VPN.ht's operating company, Wicked Technology Limited. So they got their accounts frozen. This order was a major setback for Wicked Technology and its owner, an Algerian citizen named Mohamed... Oh, God. There's too many vowels in this. Faounai, who hoped to turn things around. In a motion to dismiss filed in May, the defense has argued they are not subject to the jurisdiction of the Virginia Federal Court. Wicked Technology and its owner are represented by attorney Benjamin Maskell, who stressed that the VPN.ht didn't specifically target people in the state. In fact, Faunai had never heard about Virginia before he was sued. He claims he didn't know what Virginia was before he was sued there. That's wow. An argument. I'd never heard of... there's a state called Virginia? Yeah, really? I mean, wow. Faunai has never traveled to the United States and had never heard of the state of Virginia prior to the lawsuit. He does not have an interest in, use, or possess any real property in Virginia. He has not transacted any business in Virginia or contracted to supply services or things in Virginia. Yeah, that argument's not going to hold water, because if these courts like claiming jurisdiction when they can. As the case appeared to head towards a jurisdiction battle, both sides came together behind the scenes to resolve the matter out of court. In August, the parties already informed the court that they were working on a settlement, which has since been finalized. The movie companies agreed to drop their claims against Wicked Technology, VPN.ht Limited, and Mr. Faunai in exchange for a far-reaching injunction. This proposed order and injunction was approved by the Virginia District Court Judge Rossi D. Alliston Jr. recently. The VPN service will, among other things, prevent its subscribers from using BitTorrent on its U.S.-based servers. The blockade is independent of the nature of the traffic, which also could be non-infringing. Quote, within 30 days of the entry of this order, the Wicked entries are ordered to use their best efforts to implement technological measures designed to prevent subscribers of the VPN.ht VPN service from using the BitTorrent protocol with Wicked's VPN servers in the United States, unquote. In addition to blocking BitTorrent traffic, the defendants also agree to store IP addresses and logs of the IP addresses that are linked to its U.S. servers. These logs will have to be stored for at least a year and should be able to point to specific users. Quote, said log records shall include identification information of the subscriber as stored in the records for Wicked entries, unquote, the injunction reads. While the above will already spook quite a few VPN subscribers, the injunction goes even further. VPN.ht also agrees to disclose relevant logs when the movie companies notice that a VPN subscriber using the service to pirate or has used the service to pirate one of their films. Quote, in the event that plaintiffs have confirmed infringement of the copyrighted works or copyrighted protected works as set forth in Exhibit 1 to the amended complaint by a subscriber to WikidVPN. Upon request by plaintiffs, the Wikid entries shall provide the plaintiffs the log entries pertaining to such subscribers in respect to the claimed infringement, unquote. If VPN HD accurately blocks all BitTorrent traffic on its servers, the movie company shouldn't be able to identify any pirates in the logs. That said, the agreement is a clear sign that VPN HD's no-log policy no longer applies to its entire network. According to the news, VPN HT informs Torrent Freak that it will continue to keep its users private. While it agrees to the terms above, the company says it will circumvent the measures by just discontinuing its U.S. servers. Quote, we do not intend to log our customers, so we will just stop offering U.S. servers. We refuse to share any information about our customers, which we don't have anyways, a VPN spokesperson informed Torrent Freak. Quote, we are not big enough to keep fighting, unquote. VPN HT adds, stressing it will continue to protect users. The order and the injunction also come with some good news for VPN HD and its owner. Their previously frozen PayPal accounts are now unlocked. In addition, all other restrictions that were part of the preliminary injunction are lifted as well. Most importantly, perhaps, all copyright infringement claims against Wikid Technology, VPN HD Limited, and Mr. Fow and I are dismissed. This means that the lawsuit now only lists the anonymous operators of the PopcornTime.app as defendants. A copy of the injunction order signed by okay, is available. VPN HD is not the only VPN service to be targeted with a privacy lawsuit this year. Several others, including Surfshark, VPN Unlimited, ZenMate, PIA, and ExpressVPN are targeted in similar cases. There is no indication that the other providers are considering a settlement. Let's see, the article was updated after a publication and response from VPN HD with clarification that VPN HD is just going to stop offering U.S. servers. Yeah, so they're just going to shut down all of their servers because they can't comply. They don't want to comply with the log requirements. So, yeah, they're basically saying we're banned from running U.S. servers because otherwise we have to do all this shit. But I'm wondering, since the injunction has this thing in there that if they identify a pirate coming from their servers, they still have to provide logs. And they're going to be like, well, we didn't operate any U.S. servers, so they're going to end up right back in court.
Yeah, but they'll have a very strong jurisdictional claim.
Yeah, it's like, we don't operate in your country.
Yeah. So, whoever was in Belgium, we're in whatever country we're in, you have nothing to do with this.
So,
though I'm kind of surprised it was a Virginia court. I figured if it's between a foreign country and U.S., shouldn't that be a district court?
I don't know.
I'm not a lawyer.
But
I just know Congress regulates trade between foreign nations and several states. Yeah, and the Indian tribe. So I figured it'd be a federal matter rather than a Virginia matter. Unless they're saying the server was actually in Virginia and trying to call.
I think they just went to a friendly jurisdiction. Because this sounds like they're just harassing small-time VPNs to try to either shut them down or get them to keep logs and agree to provide those logs on request, because that's what they wanted. I mean, why else would that be in the settlement suit of that you will keep logs and you will provide them upon request, which is, we don't want to do subpoenas. We just want to be able to email you and say, we want these logs and we want them now, and just get them.
Well, if you're not keeping the log, a subpoena wouldn't do you any good anyway. They could subpoena me for Microsoft's records. I don't have them. I've just complied with your subpoena.
Yeah. But they're not going to believe you when you say you don't have them, so they're going to then, try to take you to court and say you're not complying, and you got to prove you don't have them. Good luck proving a negative, and then things get stupid. It's harassment. It's just pure, we're going to waste your money and time in court harassment. And the court shouldn't allow that kind of shit, but they do. Last article is from the Los Angeles Times and is just wow. Steve Schneckler wonders why he's being muscled by cable giant Spectrum. Quote, it's been years since I've even been a subscriber, unquote, he told me. Nevertheless, the Altadena resident received a strange letter from Spectrum stating that, quote, as a one-time courtesy, unquote, the company will cancel its debt it claims he owes and stop reporting him as a deadbeat to credit agencies if he agrees to resume cable service.
Huh.
Quote, a well-established credit history will more likely allow you to qualify for lower mortgage rates, better chances for obtaining credit cards, and approvals for home rentals, unquote, the letter said, suggesting that Schuckler's finances could be serious trouble unless he returns to the Spectrum fold. Quote, you have worked hard to build a great future for yourself and your family, it says. We look forward to welcoming you back. Unquote. Maybe it's just me, but that is a Sopranos-like ring of you made a nice little life for yourself. Be ashamed if something happened to it. A Spectrum spokesperson confirmed the letter's authenticity. You know, they claimed, yeah, that's theirs, and called it, quote, an opportunity to reconnect, unquote, with the cable company. Spectrum partners with the Los Angeles Times on a nightly TV show. All subscription-based businesses work hard to retain and renew customer relationships. It's common for business to entice former subscribers to return with discounts and sweetheart deals. The author has never before seen a pitch so blatantly threatens harm unless you come around. The Spectrum letter tells Schuckler that despite his alleged fiscal irresponsibility, resuming cable service will allow him to, quote, come back into good standing as a new customer, unquote. Quote, and when you become a customer, it says, we will remove both your debt and cease reporting it to any credit bureau, unquote. Like the author, Schuckler took that as a not-so-veiled warning that the company will make things rough for him unless he plays ball. Quote, it seems like corporate blackmail, he said. The letter is filled with real and implied threats, unquote. The author asked if he actually owed Spectrum any money. He said, no. Schuckler replied, it's been years since I was their customer, and they've never said anything about not paying any bills. No notices of missed payments? No. No warnings of adverse reports to credit agencies? Nothing like that. Yet Spectrum's letter explicitly states that if he resumes cable service, the company will cease reporting Schuckler's prior debt to credit agencies. That wording implies Spectrum has already submitted such reports. Any negative reports on your credit file can lower your credit score, making it harder to borrow money at reasonable interest rates or perform financial activities such as refinancing a mortgage. Quote, to take advantage of this special debt removal offer, Spectrum's letter says, all you have to do is purchase a Spectrum TV, internet, and or voice product, unquote. It specifically encourages him to sign up for internet service at an introductory rate of $50 a month for the first 12 months. After that, the price jumps to $75. At the author's request, Schuckler checked his credit file. He said the only financial misstep shown was a tardy credit card payment in January of 2020 when he was out of the country. There is no negative hit from Spectrum, he said. This suggests the company hasn't actually reported his purportedly unpaid bills, and if that's the case, that would make Spectrum's letter not just threatening but also misleading. Maybe dishonest is a better word. Schuckler said he made two calls to Spectrum to see what was happening. Both service reps, he said, found no outstanding obligations. The author shared all of this with Spectrum and requested clarification. Dennis Johnson, a spokesperson for the company, declined to discuss the details of Schuckler's situation. He said letters like the ones Schuckler received are sent to numerous former customers who may have billing issues. The letters are intended to help indebted people find their way back into the financial light, he said. Wow!
No, the helping you find your way into the financial light is... you failed to pay your December cable bill. It's $75. You owe a $10 late fee. Pay us $85 and we're done. By the way, would you like to be another customer? We might even waive the bill that you already owe from this date.
Well, that's what they're saying, is the offer eliminates their past due balance and stops reporting of any debt to any credit bureau, both good things for the consumer, and yes, invites them to reconnect to Spectrum Internet at a promotional price, Johnson said.
The letter doesn't say how much he owes or when he incurred it, just that they're going to claim it. So this isn't, you didn't pay us December of 2020, it would be really bad if we were to report to the credit bureau that you didn't pay us. Wouldn't you like us not to report fraudulently to the credit bureau that you didn't pay us? Well, look at this wonderful offer we have for our new customers, which we will happily consider you and not report you to the credit bureau if you start giving us money again.
It's a shakedown.
Yeah, it's the shakedown. It's the whole mafia. We're selling insurance. We ensure you that we will not burn down your house if you pay us $25 a week.
I mean, I knew they were hurting because of people doing cord cutting, but that's, I mean, I feel like you ought to be able to sue them for that. I don't know.
I
don't know how.
Be able to go to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to
and be like, these people shouldn't be allowed to report to the credit agencies. Is what that says to me. So you ought to be able to tell the credit agencies disregard anything from Spectrum. They're making shit up, trying to scare customers back in.
And I honestly don't see how Spectrum is hurting. People say they're cord cutting. We're not cord cutting. Orps, you didn't cord cut. You have internet. Spectrum is going from being a TV company to an internet company.
Yeah, but I never paid for cable or phone service through them. And I still occasionally get shit in the mail trying to get me to do cable and phone service in them. I don't live in an area they service.
Yeah, but when you were their customer, you were their customer. It doesn't matter if I'm buying cable from them for internet or for television, they're still making a profit off of me.
Yeah, but I was only paying for internet rather than paying for internet and TV and phone and movie packages. Like I said, I was getting crap from them constantly saying, you know, you could be giving us more money. I in fact, was getting phone calls from them for a while until I said, are you assholes really going to call me every week? And then they stopped. Because they did. They called me every week for a month. And I finally said, are you guys going to keep doing this? Because this is retarded. And then they stopped. So I guess they interpreted that as put me on the do not call list. You know, despite the fact that I had specifically asked them for that after the second call. So. But I guess you have to really make a scene. I actually don't want to be on their do not call list. I want to be on their abuse list. I want to be on the don't call this person, he will call you horrible things and insult your parentage list. I don't actually want to do that to these people. I know they're just doing a job. But if that's what it takes to get them to leave me the fuck alone. So. Are you? Nothing on that?
No, man. Nothing more to say. It's just a shakedown.
Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is pretty cool. It's a project called LocalStack. And to read it here, LocalStack is a cloud service emulator that lets you run in a single container on your laptop or in your CI environment. With LocalStack, you run your AWS applications or Lambdas entirely on your local machine without connecting to a cloud provider. So what this is doing is this is emulating AWS Lambda, S3, DynamoDB, Kinesis, SQS, SNS, and a whole bunch of other stuff. They got a pro version, too, that does APIs and stuff like that. But what this thing does is this emulates enough of AWS that you can test your deployment and application code on a laptop, on your local machine, without having to upload it to AWS and incur the usage fees that come from just, you know, using AWS. Because everything in AWS is usage-based, which is fine, don't get me wrong, but to even test with AWS, you're incurring a fee. You're using bandwidth, you're using data, you're using processing, even if all you're doing is testing your code to make sure that it works. This lets you test your code before you actually put it on AWS and start getting charged for it. I think that's awesome. And anybody who's ever dealt with AWS and their billing will know that. So I just think that's a great little project and something to keep in mind. And the final thing I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo, something I was really cool and I'm really happy to find, is a project called Oculess. As in L-E-S-S. Let me just read what this thing does. Removes account requirements and telemetry from Oculus Quest devices.
So does it just roll the firmware back to before you needed a Facebook account?
No. This removes Oculus and Facebook. It just takes your Facebook account off of it. Fully logs out of Oculus and Facebook account and disables the Oculus Companion, disables telemetry, and disables updates. So it locks it at where it is and takes your account off and stops it from communicating with their servers. Now, downside.
Sounds like a must-have.
Downside. You're not going to be able to install new shit or use stuff that, you know, uses the Facebook account or the Oculus account. And a lot of it does. But if all you're doing with your Oculus is using it through the link to use it like a desktop and playing Steam games, or using the apps you've already got installed, like movie streamers and web browser and virtual desktop to get to your machines, you can run this, lock the thing off so it's no longer doing telemetry, and now it's just your headset. And I think you probably continue to sideload stuff too. Yeah, you could sideload things onto it. So if you're doing that kind of stuff, you can, you know, sideload various apps onto it and things like that. But yeah, it just disables all of this. It does have a warning that you'll basically have to reset the, you know, you have to do a full reset on the device to kind of take this off. But yeah, he's got some video tutorials showing it. He's got some text tutorials showing it. But yeah, you can actually unlock and strip all the Facebook crap out of your Oculus, and you'll have to sideload your software onto it for anything new, but it basically locks it in place. I love that because it's an option. If you want to, you know, if you want to keep using your Oculus account and getting stuff out of the App Store and don't mind the telemetry on what you do with your account with your headset, cool, good for you. Having the option to turn it off, I think is fantastic. And that's what pisses me off the most, is I bought an Oculus Quest before Facebook required a Facebook account and before they did all this tying it in and telemetry, and they added it all after the fact, and the update installed itself because they just auto-update now, just like everything else. So one day I turned on my Quest and it said, sign in with your Facebook account. And I said, no, I'm already signed in with an Oculus account. You don't need a Facebook account. And basically the device goes into this limited mode where you can't do anything. Basically, I mean, it says, well, nothing, you know, you get a warning saying, you know, services will be limited. And by services, it meant everything. I tried to run a game and it said, cannot verify ownership of this app, or, you know, it, something like that. It said I didn't own the app because I wasn't signed into Facebook. And
but Oculus knew you owned it because you bought it from Oculus.
Yeah, because I bought $100 worth of games or so on the Oculus store. Because that's the app store that comes with the headset, and you want to play the games. That's why you buy the headset. And yeah, so, I mean, but I didn't want to tie it to a Facebook account because I didn't want every game I played or video I watched on the thing to show up in an activity feed somewhere because I didn't know what they were going to do with it. Did I honestly think it was going to show up in my Facebook timeline? No, I didn't. But you don't know. You never know with Facebook anymore. Is it going to post on there, Morps just finished playing Beat Saber and got this score? Well, what if it's a really terrible score because the cat was, you know, attacking my feet when I was trying to play the game or something? You know, I don't want that shit posted. Let alone, you know, you click the wrong link in a web browser. You want every video you watch sent back up to Facebook? Or even just browsing through YouTube trying to find stuff? I mean, seriously?
I'm not sure I want Google to know what I've Googled.
Right! So,
and they have to know what it is to find it.
So I'm just like, you know, even for what I do with my headset, which honestly isn't much, 9 times out of 10, it's putting other people in the headset so we can all laugh at them flailing around at shit that's not there. Although, for anybody who's not played the game where it has you walk out on the plank in a cityscape, that game is fucking cool. And, again, for putting other people in it and watching them get very, very, you know, dizzy and trying to balance on their living room floor. It's like, look, they're like, it's like they're drunk, but without alcohol. So, yeah, the game is, it takes you up a skyscraper, side of a skyscraper, and then you're supposed to walk out on a plank and look around, you know, and you know, everyone I put in it, they're sitting there watching them inch across the floor like they're going to fall. And, you know, it's like you're in your living room. There's solid ground all around you. And yet it's, even though it's a little cartoony, it's immersive enough that everyone feels, you know, people lose their balance. You know, everyone's kind of, I mean, my sister was like crawling playing around with it. So yeah, it's good times. And then you step off of it and you fall in the game, but you're not really falling. But I mean, yeah, it messes with you. So it's good fun watching people that would, you know, do that, because it screws with your perceptions. But again, you know, I should have the option of turning off the telemetry and doing what I want with the headset, not, you know, having everything fed back to Facebook as marketing data. I mean, it's my damn headset. I paid for it. So, anyways, I think this script's cool, and I'm glad that it exists. So that's all, of course, I got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit in the IRC tonight. Al Hazard, Psychros, Jay Ludwig, and myself. Madman, closing thoughts.
I wonder if you can actually do the virtual versions on the Steam Deck with that, or if you're stuck just using it as a monitor.
The Steam Deck?
But did you say it would play Steam games? Because there are different versions of, like, Payday 2. The Payday 2 version that you can play on the Oculus, if you're fixing the drill, you can still shoot cops with your offhand.
So with the Quest headsets, they've got a couple of different ways of doing that. If you run the Oculus Link program and then hook a decent USB-C cord up to it, it will pipe the video over that. I think it's using software, and then basically it turns the Oculus Quest into a PC headset. What was it? The Oculus DK2 or whatever the current headsets are called, or an HTC Vive. It's kind of like that. It's a little bit closer to the Windows Mixed Reality headsets, but it's using Oculus. The other way to do it is there's an app called Virtual Desktop, which will pretend to be a PC VR headset, and it'll do it over the Wi-Fi. But, you know, it's assuming your network is fast enough to keep up with that. The downside is that it's going to be a little laggy over Wi-Fi. The upshot, though, is if you're not playing something that requires super precise timing, you don't have to be in the same room as the computer. So my office doesn't really have enough room to do a full standing VR game, but downstairs, you know, I just move a table out of the way, and yeah, plenty of room. So, you know, the Quest is great for that, and using the virtual desktop streamer, the games that don't require super fast and precise timing, you can play, and it's great. The stuff that, you know, trying to do, you know, super precise timing, not so much. That stuff you either need to be running locally or doing the cord. So, like that one fighting game, we were looking at, it requires a little bit more speed and precision than you get over a Wi-Fi link, so that's a little hard to mess with. And is the way my room is set up. So now if I instead of having a guest room, set up a dedicated VR room, you know, put the computer and the monitor in the closet and just had nothing else in the room, with a couple of VR lighthouses, and maybe a warning, you know, bill, you know, something to warn you that you're close to the window so you didn't accidentally dive out the window, you could do something like that. But I've got, you know, other stuff in that room, so that's a little rough to do at the moment. I would like to swap the bed out for a Murphy bed, though, at some point, so maybe do that. That'd probably be a couple of years down the line. Anyways, that's all I've got. Did you get closing thoughts?
Not yet, no.
Okay,
I don't think Madman has either.
Oh, okay. Madman, closing thoughts.
Oh, that was it. I was just wondering if you did the Oculus, if you were stuck with using it as a monitor for PCs or games, or if you could still use the virtual reality versions of the game.
You can. No, I mean, you just have to, because it just locks it where it is, right? So I think you can still, I don't know if you can still use the USB-C one. But yeah, with something like a Steam Deck where the machine's got enough grunt to run the game and you could just like belt mount it. Well, I intend to buy a Steam Deck. We might have to try that, Madman. Might have to figure that out. That might be fun.
My closing thoughts is it sounds like that's actually a cool thing to do to your Oculus then.
Yeah. All right, are you closing thoughts?
If anyone's looking for anything to do this weekend, I recommend tuning into the Chicago police department, call center. They're going to be down 50% less officers this weekend, so it's going to be party time.
Oh, my.
Just be warned, use beer if you're going to play the shots fired game. It's going to be a rough one.
Well, how are you going to tell if they're actual criminals or just mutual combatants? Do you take a shot from the mutual combatants?
Unfortunately, the cops are the ones that are announcing this, and it's the DAs that decide. So you're going to have to drink it shots fired on everyone, whether or not they're mutual combatants.
Yeah, we're not going to know until we get the tally on Monday on how many shot, how many wounded, how many dead. But I might even set up a lotto. We'll pick some numbers.
Good times. All right. Let's play the sounds and get out of here.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Gladys is dead to me now. I can have any blow-up doll I
want.
Shut
up, Wesley.